go on record as making the announcement that we have here for a wedding coming up September 1st, right here at the church. Brenda has been lassoed by Tim. So Tim and Brenda are going to be getting married here at the beginning of the month, and they have invited you to come. And it's September 1st, and it's kind of an open church wedding. They'll have a reception right afterwards. Time is, help me there, Tim, what time are you getting married? 2:30 in the afternoon, right? All right, so you know it, you've heard it, write it down, don't forget. Also, I was wondering if we're up for our reading circle tonight at Ed and Ashley's. Are you guys in order? If you're not, we can make an adjustment. You're good? Okay, we're good to go. My reading circle will be at Ed and Ashley's tonight, back on site. So appreciate that so much, the service and the way you just open your home. It's a blessing. I want to ask you, if you would, this morning to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Joshua, the sixth book of the Bible. You got the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, and then you have Joshua. And we're going to Joshua chapter 1 this morning, and I'm going to talk to you about the issue of strength and courage. I would to God that I could say everything that my heart utters at a time like this. I've got a son who's getting ready to become a man like overnight. Sort of like we take our hands off completely. Usually it's a slow process, a dawning, but I just this morning want to talk to my boy a little bit, and I want to also talk to those of you who are here and you're getting ready for your backyard clubs, because again, that's scary stuff. I mean, whenever you step out and do something for God, the old devil puts a big target on your forehead and tries to mess with you. And so I hope, and as far as all of us are concerned this morning, as we lean into the message, that you will be encouraged in your walk with God, because it is to be always an adventure, always a journey, always a forging ahead, always a plowing of new fields, and, you know, new adventure all the time. The Christian life is not a static thing, and if your Christian life is static, it's not God's fault, because He's got a whole lot of work to do, and He'd like for all of us to enlist willingly. So this morning, as we're looking at Joshua, I can't think of really any other place I'd rather go to give us a charge here for the week ahead with the backyard clubs, my son heading off into the military, and of course he's heading for boot camp, which is going to be its own experience, because boot camp, it won't be bullets flying at him at that point, it's, God willing, never at all, but there he's just going to learn who he is. He's going to get down into his core, and he's going to have to reach. And when he feels like quitting, or when he gets angry with himself for maybe not measuring up, he's going to have to find somewhere to grab some resources to get through. So it is as well with each one of you. Your Christian life, if you're going along on beds of ease, I just want you to know that's not Christianity. It's not Christianity. The Bible says that we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of the mind. You wouldn't be told that if you didn't need to be. All right, and the Bible says take on the whole armor of God. You wouldn't need to do that either if there wasn't somebody coming at you. So if nobody's coming at you, and if you don't feel a need to be strong in the Lord, you need to go back and touch the cross, because I'm telling you, once you sign up, you know, it gets a little bit furious. The devil comes against you. It's all a mind thing. The Bible says we cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We cast down imagination. Because that's where the devil gets us. He tells us, you know, it'll never work. We get the Eeyore complex. Oh, it'll never work. We're all going to die. It's all lost, and I've given up everything. And we get that. Those are the things. There are tapes that if we could just kind of hit a tape record button, we would all find that same tape that's being played in all of our minds at one time or another. So this morning, I look at Joshua, and I think here we have the best place for us to go, because we've just come off of the back of the story of Moses, and Moses has been taken on to heaven now, and now a new guard is coming in, and things are changing. Things are changing dramatically. The apple cart is upset, and now it's on Joshua, and he's standing there. And I don't know about you, but when I think of Joshua, as I've read about him in the Bible, I always think of a young man, though he's probably not all that young at this point, but he was a protege to Moses, so in many ways he was younger spiritually. He didn't have the up-close and personal relationship with God. In fact, He's at least 80 years old. I don't know if you knew that. You know, he was a young man. Well, had 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He was there when they went in and spied out the land. So he got 40 plus whatever, maybe 70, 80 years old. And so here he is. He's looking at this and he's thinking, what? I thought I was going to retire. So for some of y'all who think you're going to retire, if you're not 80 yet, you got some things to think about this morning, all right? You need to get busy, okay? Roll up your sleeves. Don't sit down. You're roughed out, you know? God doesn't want you to retire. He wants you to retread, amen? Let's get going for God. Well, this morning, I just want you to look at it in the passage of chapter 1. We're seeing this whole ordeal hitting the people's psyche. They're all saying, wow, this is huge. This is huge. Moses is gone. What will we do now? Well, the Bible says in verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land, which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide the land, divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wow. What a promise. God is with you wherever you go. Now, I could tell you that, but I just read it for you. I could tell you that, and you say, that's nice to know, but you just heard it from God's Word. He's with us. New Testament actually says it this way, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, I'll tell you something, there's comfort in that. I don't care how it seems, how you feel, or what undoing your heart is doing to you, how you're fretting or fearing, God is everywhere. And that is huge for the believer. The Bible tells us in this context, Joshua is the man of the hour. Joshua is the man who is to step up and fill some mighty big shoes. And what I want to talk to you about in this passage is two things. You can take them down and kind of put them as headings for your thoughts. First of all, what we see in this passage is that God makes Joshua a promise. Now, beloved, I'll tell you something. Faith has no teeth without the promise. I mean, you can have a nostalgic faith, oh, I just believe God will make everything work out, and that's just nostalgia. But if you don't have a promise, then you really don't have a prayer. Because faith has its foundation in the promise. Faith has its teeth in the promise. Faith grows from God's promise. People who talk about faith today want to tell you it's a blind leap. It's no such thing. It is a deliberate assessment of the truth, appropriation of the truth. A belief in the truth that God has set forth. We have grist for the mill of our faith, the Word of God. And He gives Joshua a promise. The second part of this passage is going to talk to us about God making Joshua a proposition. But first of all, He makes a promise. Verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is now dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. And he says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He has a promise. You know, you can't move out in your faith with any kind of courage, any kind of strength without a promise. And the promise comes to us in the form of many verses throughout Scripture. The Bible says we have been given great, exceeding great and precious promises, having been made partakers of the divine nature, and we've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. That means that God has vouchsafed to your heart what you need to be godly, what you need to be successful, what you need to prosper in this life. For many of us, our prosperity pendulum or plumb line is dictated to us by the world. The world says you're prosperous or you're successful if A, B, C, and D are achieved. We could say house and home. Maybe we could say wife and children. Maybe we could say job and status and position and retirement funds. This is the world's view, but it is not God's view. We need to kind of trade it in and say, God, what is your idea of success? Because if you're chasing success and you want to be prosperous and you want to in some way make a difference and be effectual in your world, you're going to do it either the world's way or God's way. That means you don't have any other choice. Most people do not set out to fail on purpose. You just don't do that. So I want to set before each one of us here this morning the reality that what God wants us to do is He wants us to prosper, He wants us to be successful, and He wants us to be blessed. He wants to use us. Now for some of you this morning, you're going to be stepping into a little bit of a fray. You did it already. You've already done some visiting. You've knocked on some doors, and we've got this thing going on in my backyard, and we'd love to have you come. My backyard club, and you stepped into the fray. Devil gave you a little trouble. Things turned upside down, life got complicated, and you just said, what in the world is going on? You know, I feel terrible, or I was afraid, or whatever. But once you moved through the fear, you began to find out there was some encouragement on the other side. Didn't happen before. It's kind of like the children of Israel, when they do, in fact, go across the River Jordan. The Bible tells us in this book, Joshua, that the water did not part until the feet of the priest hit the water. That's when they parted. You're not going to have the blessing until you accept what God told you to access. If He says go hither, you go there and you'll find God. If you stay over here, you'll be like, no, man, I'm going the other way. And you know what? The devil, he kind of likes the counterfeit God. See, when Jonah ran from God, he got down there by the harbor and he found there just happened to be a ship going where he wanted to go. See, the devil likes the counterfeit. Oh, it's God's will. We can all say, wow, it's God's will. Look what I got. I've heard people say it this way. Now I'm going to marry this person. They're not saved, but I'm going to marry them because I believe God wants me to marry them. I think they're wonderful. They love me. I love them. I'm going to marry them. But they're not going where God wants them to go. They're going where they want to go. And what they find is they get out there on the ocean and all the seas go crazy. And the only way that Jonah was able to get out of his precarious situation was to be cast into the sea and swallowed up by the great fish. And you know the story. God used him later because he got his heart right. My point is this. You will not find the victory. You will not find the blessing until you access God's word, His promise, His direction, and then you go in the power and blessing and promise of God. That's when the fear dissipates. If I want to talk to you about strength and courage, it's not going to be at the threshold. It's going to be once you put your foot into the journey. Once you begin to go beyond your comfort level. George has been a blessing to my heart lately. He's just all lit up about me. He's so winning. We did the wordless race with Naboo's over at the fair, and I may have mentioned it, but it's just such a challenge to my heart. It bears repeating. Is that he arrived, he was there scheduled for 6 o'clock on Monday, the first night of the fair. He arrived 2 hours early saying, I just can't wait to get out of here. Bless his heart. But he also confessed to me and all of us here in the church, he said, you know, I was afraid at first. But once we got it going, the fear kind of goes. But well, you're going to have fear. In fact, if you ever do anything real, you're going to have fear. If you ever do anything significant, you're going to have fear. And I see this in passage in Joshua, and we see Joshua, a new dispensation has dawned. The first dispensation is a word we get from the New Testament that literally means house order or house law. In other words, God had one way of running the house, and it was with Moses. Things have changed now. For Ryan, it's changing. For some of you who stepped out of the back row or whatever in your heart and said, I'm going to do something for God this week, or some of you are contemplating some move for God, you're stepping up. I'm telling you, man, the way it works is it's a change. Suddenly, you're going to take the reins. Suddenly, you're going to begin to initiate some things. And what's happening is a change in dispensation is taking place. Joshua is not going to have Moses to talk to anymore. He's going to be on his own. And that's a pretty scary place to be. Because when he was on his own, he was not only on his own, but he was on his own leading about 1,500,000 people. 1.5 million people are going to be looking at Joshua and saying, "What? How would you like to be in his shoes?" Well, it's going to feel like that sometimes in the battle zone, in the hardships of living the Christian life. You're going to feel like you're all alone, and you wish you just could have the pastor right there at your front steps talking to you through everything. It doesn't work that way. God says it's good for a young man to be alone, to bear the yoke of his youth, and to go out there and be a little afraid. I'll tell you what, you don't need God near as much in the calm as you do in the storm. And when you start stirring things up, you begin to draw down on God. Now, you can turn to the way of the world's success and say, "I'll buck up, and I'll just tighten my upper lip, and I'll just pull it through." And you know, I used to ride roller coasters like that. I'll tell you, the only thing I got was a headache. Amen. Anybody get a headache from riding with your mouth closed? Finally, I learned, man, if you don't scream and shout and about lose your voice, you ain't having any fun anyway. So, you know, open up your mouth and get loose and say, "God, where are you? I don't know what to do. Give me a word." And God will. Because all God wants from you and me is fellowship. He calls us co-laborers. This is a journey. It's life and it's brief. It appears for a little time, vanishes away. You have the chance now. If you don't step into the first, turn some stuff up and tip it over some apple carts, I tell you, beloved, you're just going to be miserable through life. You're going to be the person holding your breath. People have so many problems in their own life because they will not step out there and do something for God. And their life really, as time goes on, becomes senseless and feels meaningless. And it's never too late to get in the fray, by the way. He's like 80 years old. He's been walking with Moses and with God for a long, long time. But here it is. Dispensation has changed. He's going to be, and the Bible says, "Moses, my servant, is dead," in verse 2. "Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan." Now, get that. The Bible says at the end of verse 1, it says, "The Lord spake unto Joshua." The Lord spake unto Joshua. You know, that's what God does. God speaks. You say, "Well, I've never heard a verbal voice." That's fine, and I'm not necessarily talking about that. In fact, if you hear a voice, you very, 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 very careful about those real voices you're hearing, all right? Because those little physical voices that you hear, you know, I'm not saying God can't because he did in the Old Testament. That's just not the way he does it today. He's giving us his word. And he speaks through his word, and he speaks through circumstances. He speaks through other believers who have a word. God speaks, God speaks, God speaks to you. You say, "Well, I've never heard him. I'm struggling here. I don't ever hear." You do hear him. You just aren't listening. Sometimes he says, "Get up and go here," and you say, "I don't think so. I'm going to think about that." And the moment passes, the door closes, and the opportunity is gone. And you're saying, "Well, God never speaks to me." He just said, "Obey me." He says, "My sheep, what? Hear my voice." Did you hear that? He says, "My sheep, hear my voice. My sheep, follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." You know what the marks of a sheep are? They are two in number. The feet and the ears. Real believers are people who hear his voice and who follow him. Real believers are believers who say, when he says lay it down, we lay it down. When he says pick it up, pick it up. When he says go, we go. When he says come back here, you come back here. Beloved, that's what the believer is. The true believer. Now, there are a lot of people who look like believers. They're called chaff. You know, chaff looks like wheat. Did you know that? And when you got a flock of goats and sheep, you know, close, they kind of sound alike. And the bottom line is for you and me to make sure that we're not chaff, that we're not goats, but that we're sheep and that we're wheat. Because the Bible says, except a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone, but if it falls and it dies, it